We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20. Balya Maharaj surrenders the universe. Text number 9.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sulabha Yudhi Viprarishe Hi Anivrita Tanutyaja Na Tata Tirte Ayate Shrodaya Ye Dana Syaja Sulabha Yuddhi Viprarshe Yanni Vrittashtanu Syaja Natata Tirta Ayate Shrodaya Ye Dana Syaja Sulabha Yuddhi Viprarshe Jnani Vrittastanu Tsyaja Natata Tirta Ayate Sharaya Yendana Tsyaja Sulabha Yuddhi Viprarshe Nivrittastanutsyaja Natata Tirta Ayate Sharaya Yedanatsyaja Sharaya Yedavyaprashe Nivrittastanutsyaja Natatar tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachaja Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Yani vrittastanutchaja Natatar tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachaja Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Jani vittastanutyaja Natata tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachyaja Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Jani vittastanutyaja Natata tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachyaja Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Yani vrittastanutyaja Natata tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachyaja Ladies, Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Yani vrittastanutyaja Natata tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachyaja Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Yani vrittastanutyaja Natata tirta ayate Sharaya yedanachyaja Sulabha yuddhi viprarshe Yani vrittastanutyaja natata tirta ayate shadayaye nanachyaja sulabha, very easily obtained. Yudhi, in the battlefield. Vipra rishe, O best of the brahmanas. He, indeed, anivrita, not being afraid of fighting. Tanuchaja, and thus lay down their lives. Na, not, tata, as, tritta ayate, on the arrival of a saintly person who creates holy places. Shraddhaya, with faith and devotion. Yea, those who, danatyaja, can give up their accumulated wealth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who creates holy places by His mere presence. O best of the brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives in the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting, but rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. Purport. Many kshatriyas have laid down their lives in the battlefield for their nations, but hardly a person can be found who has given up all his property and his accumulated wealth and charity to a person worthy of the gift. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 17:20, Dātavyaṁ iti yad-dhānaṁ diyate nupakārine deshe kale chapatre cha tadhānaṁ satvikam smritam. That gift which is given out of duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and without expectation of return is considered to be charity in the mode of goodness. Thus, charity given in the proper place is called sattvika, and above this charity in goodness is transcendental charity in which everything is sacrificed for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had come to Bali Maharaj for alms. How could one get such an opportunity to give charity? Therefore, Bali Maharaj decided without hesitation to give the Lord whatever he wanted. One may get various opportunities to lay down his life on the battlefield, but such an opportunity as this is hardly ever obtained. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vrijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyanyadeshatamine. So, what should one do if one receives an opportunity that cannot be obtained even in zillions and zillions of lifetimes? What should one do? Should you let that opportunity go by, or should you take it? Well, just as Arbali Maharaj has gotten this unlimitedly auspicious opportunity to sacrifice everything for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, we equally as fortunate as Bali Maharaj have gotten this opportunity to give everything in charity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Someone may say, but no, wait a minute. The Lord was personally present before him. His opportunity was better. But that's not true. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally present now for us as well. He's there in the form of the deity. He's there in the form of his name, Krishna. He is personally present. So you cannot say that our opportunity is less opportune than the opportunity of Bali Maharaj. We are equally blessed as Bali Maharaj with this opportunity, the greatest opportunity to give everything to Krishna. Some people say, well, you Hare Krishnas, you're crazy. There's no such thing as God. I mean, this is just some, you know, hocus pocus. You're being deluded by some cult leader. You see? That's what they would say. There's no God. Stephen Hawking says, confirm, everything comes out of nothing. Where are you Hare Krishnas? Don't you know? Aren't you up with the modern science? Everything comes out of nothing. Well, Dr. Hawking, you're an empirical scientist, right? All right, so where is the empirical evidence that everything comes out of nothing? Can you go to a laboratory and take nothing and get something out of it, Dr. Hawking? Or is it simply dogma? You say it is science, but I say it is dogma. And therefore you were a dog propagating dogma. They want us to accept on blind faith that everything comes out of nothing. And then Dawkins, or Dawkins, he says, we're all robots. We're just robots. If I told you you're a robot, would you like that? You're just a robot. You're not a person. Would you like that, Savas Prabhu? If I told you you're just a robot? You get angry at me. What do you mean? Because you're a person. No, that'd be an insult. You see? It's an insult. You're a robot. You're a damn robot. What do you mean? I'm a person. You see? So they expect us to believe this stuff, and they call it science. So we know it is real science. We know it is actual science. Just like a mundane example, you can go to the laboratory and you can take two parts of hydrogen and one part of oxygen. Actually, when I was in high school, we did that. The chemistry teacher said, okay, students, H2O equals water. Now we're going to the lab and we're going to prove it. You can do it yourself in the test tube. And we did it. And I did it. I went, wow, this is really cool. Put the two parts hydrogen, the one part of oxygen, and boom, there was water in the test tube, you see. So in a similar way, we have scientific proof of the reality of Krishna. What is the test tube? Your consciousness. And what is the formula? Surrender. If one will surrender themselves to Krishna, then Krishna will appear. Just like the water appears, Krishna will appear. That is the end result of this process of surrendering to Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, will personally appear to you. Of course, as neophytes, you know, we're in the middle of the experiment right now. We haven't seen him yet, but he's coming. Just like the water is coming, and it's just now coming. Krishna is just now coming. You see, Prabhupada ordered me like that. He said, "Now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face." So how do you do that? You have to give your love to Krishna. Shishya John Swami used to sing, instead of loving a dog or a cat, give your love to Krishna who made all of that. You see? So, do the experiment. Give your love to Krishna. Totally. Give every ounce of your love to Krishna and see what is the result. For millions of lifetimes, we have served wife and family, and where did it get us? Another damn rotting material body. So just make any scientific experiment. Give one life to Guru and Krishna and see what is the result. Just one life. And if you don't like it, hey, you can come back again and serve wife and family again. Right? No loss. Make a one lifetime experiment. I'm going to give this one lifetime to Krishna and just see what happens. And actually, one who does that, he will personally meet Krishna. He will become an associate of Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. This material world is just a covering. This is just a covering. It's not the real thing. It's real, but it's not the original real thing. It's just a covering. What we're seeing right now is a covering. It's a covering, you see. So by this process of Hare Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada called it one time, Hare Krishna consciousness, you uncover the innate reality, the spiritual reality, which is always there at every minute going on. It doesn't matter whether Mahavishnu is exhaled or inhaled, that reality is going on uninterruptedly, the transcendental realm. And it's close as you can imagine, and as far away as you can imagine, simultaneously. One simply has to learn the art of how to connect with that Supreme Lord Krishna. You see? Simply have to learn the art of how to connect with that Supreme Person Krishna. Atakshi Krishna Nama Di Navavadgrayam Indriyai Sevon Muke Hijivado Svayam Eva Sparachadaha. You can't do it with your blunt, materially contaminated senses. It's not possible. Not possible. Es impossible, Señor. You cannot connect with Krishna with your blunt, materially contaminated senses. I remember when I was a hippie singer-songwriter in Berkeley back in 69, associating with Mukkanal, now Bhakti Madhurya Govinda. And the Hare Krishna used to say, your senses are imperfect. So I was pretty puffed up. I met Chichukananda on the campus one day in Berkeley. And I said, you Hare Krishnas, you say that your senses are imperfect. So how can you say Krishna is God? Your senses are imperfect. And he went, he didn't know how to reply. Of course, now I know how to reply. This verse of Rupa Goswami explains this point. You cannot understand or realize or know that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna with your blunt, materially contaminated senses. You can't know his name, fame, forms, pastimes. Anything about Krishna cannot be realized or understood with blunt, materially contaminated senses. But if one will engage his senses, beginning with the tongue, jivado, in the service of Krishna, then those very same senses that were contaminated with lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, those very, very same senses then become Krishnaized, they become spiritualized, they become transcendentalized. And one gets spiritual eyes by the transcendentalized senses to actually experience Krishna, you see. In all of his glory, in all of his splendor, all of his unlimitedly sublime pastimes in Vrindavan, in Mathura, in Dwarka, in everywhere, wherever he's manifesting his unlimited pastimes. When you connect with Krishna, you connect with everything about Krishna. His associates, his diet, everything. Everything. It's not some boring thing. Krishna consciousness is so amazing. It's so wonderful. It's so unlimitedly ever exponentially expanding that you can never get absolutely impossible to ever become bored with it, because even Krishna is not fully Krishna conscious. You may say, well, come on, Prabhu. Sarvagya, don't you know the scripture? Krishna knows everything. Sarvagya. Yes, he does, but even as he knows everything, that everything of his glory is expanded exponentially. As he grasps his total glories, his glories have now expanded exponentially beyond what he has grasped of his glories. So in this way, even Krishna is always expanding his Krishna consciousness. So there's no question of boredom in Krishna consciousness. There's nothing in this material world that gives you that opportunity for ever-increasing nectar. Nothing. Absolutely nothing in this material world. Actually, there is no nectar in this material world. Even what they call the greatest, most nectarian thing, namely sex, is just, is actually disgusting. Disgusting. Prabhupada said on the beach here in L.A., he said, the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. And then Sarup Damodar, playing the role of the scientist, he said, but Prabhupada, how to continue the species? And Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So, we're not interested in, you see, these pleasures. He took chum, the 10th class, you see. If you're having difficulty in Krishna consciousness, your mind is disturbed by sex or this or that, all you have to do is go deeper. You know, it's all, the nectar is there. It is there. You got to have faith. The unlimited nectar is there. It's there. If you're not tasting it, you just haven't gone deep enough. You're in the desert. You've been told there's a reservoir of water beneath the desert, and you keep drilling, and you don't. All you get is dry sand. Well, you just kind of keep drilling. You understand? You got to keep drilling deeper and deeper into this nectarian ocean of Krishna Prema by the name, fame, form, pastimes, etc. of Krishna. And by doing that, that day is going to come and you're going to hit water. You're going to hit big, big time water. That artesian well of Krishna Bhakti will come surging up within your heart. We're not there yet, but it's coming. It's coming. It is coming. You just got to stick with the process. We just got to keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Have to have faith in Srila Prabhupada, have faith in our spiritual master, have faith in our wonderful leaders that Krishna has given us in this society, have faith in these teachings, have faith in every word of Prabhupada's teachings. This faith is the most essential thing. The whole thing is based on faith, Shraddha. If you study the aspects of bhakti, how you get to prema, the whole thing is based on faith. If your faith is shaky, you're not going anywhere spiritually. You got to make your faith very, very strong. So how do you do that? By associating with those who have strong faith. That's how we all were convinced. Because we were associating with Prabhupada, and his faith was unbelievably powerful, you see. The faith of this greatest spiritual master in the universe. Unshakable faith. just by hearing Prabhupada, just by seeing Prabhupada, his amazing qualities, every single subtle aspect of him, he was just poetry in motion. Everything he did was absolutely sublime. He was so kind, he was so merciful. Even to some insignificant, not very fixed up devotees like myself. I never forget this, my magic moment I had with Prabhupada. He came back from the morning walk and he got out of the car. In those days, it was 71, this summer, and there was a system. All the devotees would line up. It used to be grass there, but now there's the... We'd line up there and every devotee would have a flower. And Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers. And he would come down the row. You had your own personal one-on-one with Prabhupada. You hand him the flower and he hands you a flower. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You get to have your own magic moment, just you and Prabhupada exchanging flower with each other. Wow, it was so wonderful. So I was there and I got Vishnujan Swami was there. I was standing right beside him and Prabhupada got out of the car and he got a hug. Oh, wow. He got a big warm hug. I was so enlivened. Because I was one of his men, I felt I was getting hugged at the same time. And I saw him getting hugged. And then he came down the row and I handed my flower to Prabhupada and he handed me a flower. And then he's going on down one after one, another, 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 another. Now, actually, to see Prabhupada, not seeing an ordinary, it's not an ordinary seeing. It's as good as seeing Krishna directly with your own two eyes. If you could see Krishna directly, how inconceivably auspicious that would be. To directly see Prabhupada with your own eyes was like that, seeing Krishna directly. So I wanted, these steps out here, we all come in every morning, right there on the steps where we walk in the door, and the men come on this side, we all walk. And those very steps right there, I stood there, so I could have another darshan of Prabhupada as he came walking by to his quarters in the back. And I always describe it like this, drinking Srila Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. Because, I mean, devotees feel so much love for Prabhupada and so much affection for him, and to see him is just it's the perfection of existence, to see him with your own two eyes. So I was just standing there drinking him into my heart through my eyes, and Prabhupada looked up and he saw me standing there on the steps. And he saw I wasn't in line with the other devotees. And he was wondering if I'd gotten a flower now yet. He was so considerate. And he didn't say any word, but it was all body language. He held up a flower like this. Did you get a flower yet? And he held one up. I could have lied and gotten two flowers, but I would never lie to Prabhupada. I held up my flower and I must have been grinning ear to ear because Prabhupada had noticed me out of this huge crowd of devotees. Oh, wow, Prabhupada's noticing me, little old me, this rascal character from Texas. He's noticing me. Couldn't believe it, my unlimited good fortune. And so I held up the flower and I shook my head. Oh, yes, I got the flower. But it's just amazing that Prabhupada, out of a huge crowd of devotees, there were so many big devotees there, sannyasis, big senior devotees, leaders, and I was just some unknown bhakta from Texas, but he wanted to make sure that I had gotten my flower. I mean, that was probably the depth of his compassion. He cared for every single devotee in this movement as a loving, compassionate father. It's not that you're in a big name. No, every single devotee in this movement, and it's still true. Prabhupada is still here. Do you think he's dead and gone? Think again. We saw the proof in Atlanta at the new Panayati festival. The same murti like this one during the noon arti. It was really a good kirtan. And you know what happened? Prabhupada started crying. The tears came out of his right eye and his face. The murti was crying. And wow, Prabhupada's here. He hasn't gone. He's showing us he's here, how much he's appreciating our kirtan. That's the prayer of, you know, Hari Hari, let's see, Gauranga Bolite Habe Bhulaka Shari Hari Hari Bolite Nayane Babaini. Narottam is praying like that. When will that opportune moment come to me when chanting Gauranga, I will feel shivering in my body? And when chanting Hari Hari, the tears will come streaming from my eyes. So we saw Prabhupada in that ecstasy of crying in the kirtan. So we know that Prabhupada is still here. He's in the hearts of all of his disciples and all of his grand disciples. Anyone who is sincerely serving Prabhupada, Prabhupada has taken up residence in your heart. You don't ever feel alone wherever you are, whether you're in the temple or you're out preaching, you're out doing this or that. Just by being dedicated to Prabhupada's instructions, Srila Prabhupada is sitting right there in your heart, blessing you, guiding you, and inspiring you. So, in this way, we have to keep this feeling of love for Prabhupada alive and keep it ever increasing in our hearts. And this will be our not looking the gift horse in the mouth. We have the greatest opportunity. So how much we can love Srila Prabhupada, how much we can love our spiritual masters, how much we can love our fellow devotees, how much we can manifest compassion upon the fallen conditioned souls of this world by distributing these books, distributing this knowledge, distributing prasadam, you see. This is how we can cash in on this greatest of all opportunities and very soon meet Krishna face to face. Kijai. Any questions? Got about 10 minutes. Any challenges? Yes. Come here, Bhakti Vasal, in case I can't hear. You can help me.
Prabhu, once again, thank you for a very wonderful class. I'm very happy to hear everything you said. It's very encouraging. My question is this, that every morning, you know, after Tulsi Puja, we recite the 10 offenses and we chant that verse. If one is infested with the 10 offenses, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he'll not get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of his chanting. So my question is, you know, you were saying how we just have to drill deeper and everything, but it sounds like if we are infested with these 10 offenses, despite, no matter what we do, we're not going to get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of his chanting. So my question is, how do you get rid of these 10 offenses? What's the best way to become free from the 10 offenses? Because once again, it sounds like if you're committing them, you're not going to get the love of Godhead despite your endeavor, you know, to drill.
Stop a minute. Let me, you finish, because I couldn't make it up.
Yeah, drilling with offenses.
This is the most essential thing, how to develop Shudanam. It's the most essential thing. Prabhupada always wanted, when there's initiation ceremony, that these 10 offenses should be spoken about. Because as confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can go on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not achieve perfection if you continue to commit offenses. So sometimes I ask people, well, by chanting 16 rounds regularly and following the four regular principles, can you go back to Godhead? They say, oh yes. I say, no. You have to chant without offense. Chanting alone is not sufficient. You have to chant and avoid the offenses. So then how do you do that? That's actually the greatest challenge that every single member of the Krishna consciousness movement faces every day. Is how to clear out all these offenses from the heart. It's the most essential thing for each and every one of us who are aspiring for pure love of God. How to get free from these offenses. So your question is the most relevant question that could be asked. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Now I have to answer it. Before I take another one. Well, there's many, many different aspects. Of course, there's many different offenses, but the granddaddy is the first one, to be disrespectful to Vaishnavas. Because Krishna says that unless you're devotee of my devotee, you know, ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta shtate janaha. Unless you're the devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So you can't be recognized as Krishna's devotee unless you learn how to become a devotee of the devotees. So this is, Prabhupada recognized, and we have difficulty with this. He said, don't fight amongst yourselves. You see? We have this tendency to fight. That fighting tendency is offensive. And it blocks us from Shudanam. So we really have to become the devotee of the devotees. Even I might have a difference of opinion. That's natural. You may have your opinion. You may say we shouldn't take milk from commercial dairies. I may be taking milk from commercial dairies because I feel my brain needs all the help it can get. There may be difference of opinion, you see. There may be difference of opinion. But still, we have to respect each other and love one another. I've been blessed with the association of these great personalities. You see? Great, great personalities. The association of these Vaishnavas is a greater opportunity that can be had in millions and billions of lifetimes. Now I'm regularly associating with these great personalities who've taken shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know what Lord Nityananda said? He said, anyone who worships Lord Chaitanya, he is my very life and soul. So, are we feeling the same way? For these devotees here, they're very my very life and soul. Do we feel that way? Not as much as we should. Be honest with you. We don't feel that way as much as we should. We should feel that every devotee is very, very, and Lord Chaitanya is my life and soul. That's how much love and affection and feeling we should have for every single devotee. Prabhupada felt that way, you see. We haven't learned that yet. And therefore, we're not tasting the pure name yet. So that's a good starting point.
Yeah, thank you.
Because you can
that.
Only relish the name insofar as you relish Sadhu Sangha. So just learn how to associate in the six loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami, more and more and more, with every single devotee, according to different relationships. Some are my seniors, some are my equals, some are my juniors. Some devotees may be very offensive also. That's described also by Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam purport. To those, you respect them from a distance. Is it? Raghunath Goswami, he did not want to see the faults of the devotees. He thought, even if there's some fault, it's not very important. I want to see the glories of the devotees. That was his move. He never had any interest to see. In our famous Jayananda, if you criticize the devotee, he would just go away. He didn't want to hear it, you see. So in this way, focus on your devotee relationships, because you, to that extent that you develop relationships with the Vaishnavas, to that extent, the name, the pure name, will become manifest in your heart. Now it's your turn. All right, we'll sneak in Archer to here. Huh? I'll let you sneak in. Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
It's extremely riding on the first question. Okay.
As you said, it's extremely important. Now it seems though that what's going to come first in the relationships that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya had, they were sweet because they had love for Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, when they met each other, they would embrace, they would roll on the ground. The normal Hindus of the day could not understand. They want these people are crazy. They're rolling on the ground.
Stop for a minute. Let me catch up because I'm not making anything up. So in other words, we don't qualify, right? Because
no,
we're just as much as scoundrels.
To make it simple, their relationships worked because they had love for Lord Chaitanya. But you're saying that you won't get the love
for
Lord Chaitanya.
We're just a bunch of scoundrels with absolutely no love for Lord Chaitanya. So yeah, just all a bunch of scoundrels. You're a bunch of jerks and rascals. You're just scoundrels because you have no love for Lord Chaitanya, right? No. That's what we're supposed to think?
No. But because if you don't have love, then we see the other thing. We've seen it many times in our society. Two devotees are very close, inseparable, and together they walk away and leave the movement because they're attached more to each other than they are to Prabhupada and the movement. So you have to be, you know, I'm saying, where's the starting point? Where's the balance?
Oh, wait, let me catch up. The Nibbi devotees have close relationships with each other, but it's material. If they go away together, it means it was a material relationship based on sense gratification, not on serving Prabhupada's mission. Our relationships should not be mundane relationships. So let's get together and smoke some marijuana or something like that. It should be based on serving Prabhupada's mission, encouraging each other to develop prema bhakti. That's how those kind of relationships, that's where it's at. Okay? All right. Your turn, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. My question is already answered. But if you allow me to, in Bhrigupati's question, in the Padma Purana says, Nama parada yuktanam namanyeva harantyagam avishranti prayuktani tanye vartakarani cha. The chanting of Hare Krishna is recommended for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting, they will gradually chant offenselessly. Even if in the beginning one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with offenses, one will become free from such offenses by chanting again and again.
Yes, but how many agains are there depends on the degree of your offenses. If you're very offensive, that again and again can go on for millions of years. If you're a little bit, so how much again and again do you want? You want to wrap it up now and become a pure devotee? Then you should do everything you can, not just chanting and being rude to devotees. You see? If you will chant and be respectful to devotees, that again and again will be minimized greatly. But if you're offensive to devotees, that again and again could be many lifetimes of again and again chanting. You understand? Yeah?
I like your answer.
Jai. I liked it. You like it. Ki jai. Okay. Actually, we're over time already, and I'm heading out now back to Texas. Y'all, and thank you very much for being here in keeping this wonderful, this holy Dham becoming more and more glorious. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
His Grace Sankarshan Prabhu Ki.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, that was. I was thinking of you today when I gave a lecture. I was thinking. Yesterday I talked about spreading the movement, the external Krishna. Now today I got to focus on the inside, the inner aspect. I was meditating like that before I gave the class, thinking of you. And today I'll give the class for you. That's how I was thinking. So I guess it worked. We're going, I think it's in the afternoon. I think we're leaving around 11 o'clock, I think. It's in the early afternoon. So, yeah, it was maybe 10, 11, around 11 o'clock or so, we'll be heading out to LAX. Yes, and we really love coming here. It's a special place. Very, very special place. The loving exchanges here are very, very sweet. We go to many temples around the world. This is one of the few temples. It's a very high-level temple. This temple and Melbourne Temple, I think those are the two where the most
personal loving, I mean, it's very special. It's one of the very special temples. Melbourne Temple is also very special. Some temples it's like, you know, it's like kind of pathetic atmosphere, not much happening, not much loving exchange, not very encouraging. It's like just a bunch of neophytes doing so many weird things. But this temple and Melbourne Temple, of all the places I go, they're very special temples. You familiar with Melbourne Temple? Yeah. Anirudh is really something. He's really good. He really does a great job of managing that place. And the devotees are so personal there. I mean, every time I walk through the courtyard, everyone offers obeisances. There's so much, because there's hardly any Prabhupada disciples in this building. Here there's so many Prabhupada disciples, but there, a Prabhupada disciple is there, you're like, it's like you're Prabhupada or something. When they treat you like you're Prabhupada nowadays in Melbourne, Prabhupada disciples, you treat you like they're Prabhupada. It's so much respect there. It's so nice. And it's like here, there's a big Mangalarti, there's a big temple room full of devotees. It's very rare.
It's a beautiful history.
Yeah, and the Prabhupada's quarters are there. But Sydney is coming up now. They were like a ghost town, but now they got a whole slew of new men, a nice bhakti program. Sydney is coming up. Our last bit to Sydney was very encouraging. Before that, Mangalarti was just the Pujari and us. You know, all the devotees were asleep, you know. But now Sydney's starting to come up. That's encouraging.
Dr. Prabhu, thank you very much for your association.
I'm delighted by your association, I tell you.
Very nice, thank you.
I'm just absolutely delighted by your association.
No, anyways.
I'm just blessed by your association. Can't ever thank you enough.
Do you next world tour, see if you could get us on the outbound?
My next world tour, I'll be coming through here in June. Yeah.
June, okay.
Yeah. I come twice a year. I'll be coming from Melbourne straight. This time I came from South America. Next tour I come from straight from Melbourne to L.A. A year in the summer, yeah.
Jai, very nice.
We had a great program at the Bhakti, the Bhakti house last night.
Bhakti, gave a, pretty good, huh?
We gave a Brahmachari class to the Brahmachari and the Brahmachari.
I always have a